Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Grace Chapel. It's great when we have somebody come in from out of town. And of course, it's especially nice that Ricky's here. This been here for the last few days anyhow. Unfortunately, he's going to run away today.
Flee.
To go back home.
fleeing, I guess is the word.
Yeah, something like that. Well, it depends on how you look at it.
Right.
But you know what? Cool things that happens when Ricky comes around is all these neat little toys pop out. And for me, I have to reel myself back in after seeing all these neat little toys because I want to go play. I want all these neat little toys and gidgy gadgets, as Cheryl puts it. But I have to remind myself that how would I use these for the Lord? And I can't justify them. What I need to serve the Lord is my heart, my mind, and my soul. And to do that, I have to focus. Every day I have to focus. And the Lord gives us what we need to be able to go out in the world and serve Him. He gives us His Word. A reminder that we don't need anything from the world to be able to do His work. But praise the Lord, He provides us the other things we need so we can go out and do these things. I'd like to go to John 17. As a reminder of who we are. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. As Thou hast given Him power over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as Thou hast given Him. And God gave Jesus the disciples, the 12. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest me out of the world, the disciples. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are of Thee. For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which Thou hast given me, for they are Thine. And all mine are Thine, and Thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to Thee, Holy Father, keep through Thine own name those whom Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in Thy name. Those that Thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in them. In themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, and they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. The important part in that that really hits me is when we join ourselves and accept Jesus' word, and we know his word is truth, and we follow his words and do as he is commanded and go out and teach the world. One thing we have to remember in the world is that once we have joined ourselves with Christ, we are not of this world. We are joined with him. And this world has a way of throwing many things at us. Many obstacles, many shiny little gidgy gadgets. But the Lord gives us exactly what we need to be able to serve him, to walk with him, and to be with him. Remember, once you have joined with him, you are not of this world. We are a part of the kingdom of heaven. And we are one with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh,
Well, good to see everybody here today. Good to see Rick and his family. It was nice to have him visit, as Bob said. Hey, I wanted to first just touch on one of the things that Bob brought up today, and that is, if we're going to be in that kingdom, we have to fight to stay there. We don't just arrive and we're there and everything's wonderful. You got a fight on your hands. One of the things we're fighting is unbelief. Right? Let's turn over to Hebrews 3. I'm just going to read 4 or 5 verses. I'm going to start at 12. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you that... let me start over again. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. See, we can depart from Him. I don't recommend it. And it's His promise that He won't leave you. So if you find yourself out there flapping the wind, you better get yourself reoriented, eh? Amen? All right, let's go to 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today. Exhort one another daily. Daily. While it's called today. Sounds like an awful lot of work. You know, if you're going to help your brother, if you're going to love your brother and your sister, you're going to show them some things that, well, might not be comfortable for either of you. Because I know when I share things that are hard, it's hard. And when things are told to me that's hard, well, it hurts. But it's good for all of us. And we need that exhortation. Might not want it, but we need it. Now, let's continue on a little bit. I'll just start again. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Unbelief is, I mean, something I spoke about, I think it was last week. I mean, it's one of those things that the devil uses to deceive us. And if we join ourselves to that, it's just not a good place to be. I mean, that's what it comes down to. Well, one thing, I know, yeah, this might be a sidetrack. Everybody sort of has, you know, certain expectations that they need to meet, you know, as you go through life. I mean, parents, they expect certain things out of kids. Employers, employees, they expect certain things out of each other, right? And just folks walking around, we expect certain things out of each other, right? I mean, one of those things, if you get right down to it, if you have an expectation, I mean, really, the expectation that you're holding on another person is that which is your own. It's your own standard. It's what you expect them to do. It's how you think you should be treated. Does that make sense? Or did I kind of muff it up? It made sense in my head. Let me take another stab at it. Oh, Cheryl says it made sense. Yeah, all right. You see where I'm getting. I mean, what brings this up? I'll backtrack. Maybe this will fill it in. I went into town on Friday. All right, I went in alone. I wanted to go in alone, just have a little quiet time so that I could focus on the things that I needed to get done and think through a couple of things. And I had the opportunity, and I did it, right? And while I was out in town, I went to a few different stores and, you know, places I hadn't been before, that sort of thing. And in one of the stores I went to, they just have a counter, and there's like three folks, and you take a number, and you got to kind of wait, right? And when I got there, it was a busy time. It was that time right before lunch, so I think a lot of the contractors were coming in, getting supplies, getting this sort of thing. So there's a bunch of folks there. And I'm just hanging out, looking around, looking at some of the things on the walls, and I see this, you know, this guy. He's over here, and he's kind of got a look on his face. He's upset. He's not happy. He's not pleased. I didn't really want to talk to him, but something told me I should go talk to him. So I went over and I said, hey, you know, how you doing? Is there anything I can help you with? I mean, what's going on, man? No, I'm just having a bad day. You know, this is that, this, my boss this, my boss that, you know, my, and he just unloaded on me. Everything in his life was wrong, but he was right. But everything else was wrong. And in the course of him unloading, he actually expressed that he went to church, right? He said that he was, you know, a Christian, somewhere in there. I know we mentioned it. And when he finally stopped to take a breath, I said, well, have you lifted that up to the Lord? That made him more angry. Oh, boy. And he said a few things, and then I just kind of ignored what he said. I mean, I heard it, but it wasn't really relevant. And I just turned to him and I said, look, if you're going to sit here and tell me that everything in your life is a problem, and all of those problems are too big for Jesus to handle, and you're righteous in the midst, I said, I'm going to call you a liar. That didn't go over well either. And, you know, it turned into some, you know, sort of, it's a quiet argument that he's having with me, you know what I mean? Because there's people around. He's like, you know, who do you think you are, you know, telling me that? I said, hey, man, I'm just a man just like you. You know, I have these same problems. But you got to come to the realization that it's not about you, all right? All these circumstance, all these problems that you have around you, most of the time you're creating them yourself, right? These problems stem from that evil heart of unbelief. They stem from not having that right mindset, not having that focus on the Lord. And he started to quiet down, but he wasn't hearing what I was saying. So I guess to back up, I mean, what I that's what I was trying to get at. Yeah, see, now Rick says it makes more sense. Yeah. Yes. I mean, if we want to move forward in Him, we have to make that choice. We have to make that decision and believe that He's going to meet us there and help us through. And from there, we believe, we obey, and then we walk in it. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. That was good, Scott. I appreciate that. Partially because it's a great segue. You know, I came to the fellowship back in 1989. Now, math being what it is in my head, how many years is that? That's a long time. 25 years is a long time. You know, the messages I'm hearing now, 25 years later. Can you turn it down a little bit, Dad? I'm like cranking. Okay. Anyway, 25 years is a long time. Messages I'm hearing today, the same messages I heard 25 years ago. The same thing. Which tells me a couple things. If we had a room full of brand new people, that would mean they're hearing it for the first time. We have a room full of a couple relatively newbies, but they're not that new anymore. But the rest of us have been around a while. And we're still hearing the same message. That tells me we ain't got it yet. I mean, that's the truth of it. Because if we had had it, we would have moved on to newer stuff. Amen? Am I going to get an amen out of that? I mean, if you look in the mirror and you take a look and you examine yourself and you sort of put yourself in the hot God's hot seat and you say, all right, Lord, shine your light on me. And he's shining the same light on you that he's shown 25 years ago. We come up short. We come up short. There's a passage, and it's, I hope we can get through it. I don't want to run too long today, but I'll run as long as we need to, I suppose. But I want to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Now, this is one of those that, you know, it's already highlighted in this Bible, but I bet you it's highlighted in yours, too. This one we certainly go through enough, isn't it? I'm going to start with verse 1 and do a lot of reading to get down to where I believe the Lord wants me to get. And we may stop along the way. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Boy, there's a lot in that verse. There's a lot there. We're called to a vocation, amen? Walk worthy of it. Now, again, I put myself in the hot seat and I say, Lord, am I doing that? And oftentimes the answer comes back, not so much. Now, am I content to stay in that place where the answer continues to be not so much? I hope not. Scott was talking about it takes effort, energy, work. I mean, when we say, Lord, be my Lord and Savior, is that the end all of it? I mean, that's what the Baptists preach. You're done, brother. You're good to go. We know that's the start of the journey, right? That's the start of our walk with the Lord. That's not the end. Because we're not saved until he says, enter in, thy good and faithful servant. See, the scary thing to realize is I can spend 25 years here, die tomorrow, and go to hell. Because it's not about hearing all this good word. It's about doing the word. You can go back into Hebrews. There have been in Hebrews a lot lately. It says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The gospel was preached to them as well as unto us, and it didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They didn't use the word that they heard. They heard it. They experienced it. They saw the power of God in their life every single day, and yet they died in the desert because they didn't put off that old nature. They didn't put off Egypt. See, they still held on to Egypt. They held on to the hopes of Egypt. They held on to the aspirations of Egypt. You were talking about the things, the shiny things of the world. We like to sometimes hang on to those, and that could be a shiny thing. It could be a job. It could be a relationship. It could be a quadcopter. It could be an attitude. It could be the kind of attitude Scott was describing where you think you deserve to be treated better than you're being treated. How often does that happen? How often does it happen that we get our knickers in a twist because we don't believe we're being treated the way we ought to be treated? And then we hold on, we hug on to that. Is that walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called? No. Actually rejecting the vocation. Let's continue on here. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Shall we add more to the pile? Shall we add more to the scales of our inadequacy? Now, the thing is that we can read this over and over and over and over, and we can say, Lord, I want to do different. How many people want to be in a better place with God? Then be in a better place with God. Because a man or a woman does what a man or a woman wants to do. You want to have a better attitude? Have one. You want to walk in the power of God? Then walk in the power of God. There's nothing preventing us from any of those goals save ourselves. We are the ones, not God. You were talking about that, Scott, you were talking about God won't depart from us. We can depart from Him, but His promise is He won't depart from us. So the thing that holds us back from any of that is all ourselves. Now, the scary thing to me is how content we can be to be all right with that. I mean, we talk about God's grace, and well, we need it. We need it. But what does He say about a branch that doesn't bear fruit? I mean, you could say, I'm trusting in God's grace, I'm trusting in God's grace, I'm trusting in God's grace. But if you're not moving forward in God, that's presumption, my friend. That's not faith. That's being presumptuous. That doesn't bear fruit, not godly fruit. I want to jump forward here. We jump forward and read this a lot, and I encourage you to go back through and read it again. Okay, it talks about us being of one body, built up and formulated together, and Christ being the head. This talks about us operating as the body of Christ. In fact, it really talks about us operating in a military fashion as the body of Christ, with generals and colonels and majors and people in authority and jobs. This is a pretty awesome chapter. He gets to the end of it. He gets into 17 here. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Is that where we are? Or do we still yet walk in the vanity of our mind? I'm looking at myself 25 years in. Where am I? Where's my mind? Where's my heart? Because that's what the mind is. It's the seat of our will. Where is our will? Where is it? Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. There's a point we got to get away from that. That's not where we're supposed to be. It's not where we're supposed to live. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now this is, I hope I can put this out in a way it's going to make sense. We all know that we can look at two people and they do the same thing. One do it in faith, one do it in pride, one be justified, one be yet condemned. Right? You're with me so far. Putting off the old man is not suppressing the old man. There's a difference. When you put off the old man, you acknowledge that whatever it is that is that character of the old man is evil, wrong, and you want nothing more to do with it. And you get rid of it. You recognize that that is the fallen nature of mankind and you want nothing to do with it. It sickens you that you're still having to deal with it. That we go read about Paul and he says, who's going to deliver me of the body of this death? You know, he is likening his sin nature, that lustful nature in his flesh as a dead body strapped to him to kill him. That's not a comfortable place. He's not hugging up to that thing, wanting to hold on to it, wanting to keep it. He wants to get rid of it. He's putting it off. And he says, I with my mind serve the law of Christ, with my flesh the law of sin. See, we're stuck with this until the Lord redeems us. But we're not subject to it any longer through the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Suppression of the old man. You may not demonstrate that you have a bad attitude. You may not verbalize it. But you still feel justified in what you feel. See, that's suppressing the old man. How many times have we wanted to react, wanted to act, wanted to speak out on something going on because we didn't feel like we were being treated the way we thought, and we just squish it down? We still feel justified. We still feel that we're in the right and they're in the wrong. See, that's suppression of the old man. That's not putting off the old man. That's still yet hugging up to it. That's where exactly where the children of Israel were out in the desert. Still hugging on to Egypt. See, that's the step we got to take. We have to understand. Philip said it great. I'm going to have to go back and write it down as he said it. See, over in John it says that without him we can do nothing. And over it says in Philippians that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But we can only do all things through Christ who strengthens us if we realize that without him we can do nothing. Does that make any sense? So if we walk around justified in our bad attitude, we've forgotten that part. We've forgotten it. We're not actually putting anything off. And if you're not putting anything off, have you really transitioned out of unbelief to faith? See, to presume you have is presumption. It's not in faith. Where are we? Here it is. Verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed by the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, let's look at what that looks like. Okay? Verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. How often are we really truthful with one another? With the Lord? With ourselves? Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. It's interesting there. Does he tell him to labor so he can build up his 401k? Or does he tell him to labor so that he can be a useful tool of the Lord to help those in need? It's not even about him and getting stuff. It's about him helping others. What a different change in mindset. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Gosh, Steve said something today, I think it was. Or was it Phil? It sort of rolls together. But somebody said something, again it was in Philippians, about do all things without murmuring and complaining. We'll just let that one go for now. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Isn't that what you were talking about, Scott? Daily edify one another. That word corrupt, Paul and I went through it one time, it's useless. Useless, meaningless. No value, no purpose. You know? It's like wasted calories. Why do you want them? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, verse 30 is another one of those cautionary verses. What happens if you ignore this, what Paul's saying? You grieve the Holy Spirit. He's the one that holds you. Is that the guy you want to be grieving? No. Not at all. Verse 31, look at this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Again, this is not suppressing these things. This is putting it away. This is realizing that there is no justification to hold on to this. That this stuff is the very bitterness, the very root of bitterness that can actually take 25 years in the ministry and yet wind you in hell. That's scary to me. It's cautionary to me. Is it not to you? We can't survive with this stuff in us. We can't do it. It's impossible for a poison to exist in a body and that body be healthy. When we carry anger and bitterness and unforgiveness around against God, against our authorities, against one another, it is a cancerous poison in our body that has to be put out. Now God, for the sake of the body, will get out the thing that's poisoning the body. Don't be cut out because you refuse to let go of the poison. Rather let go of the poison. Amen? Rather get rid of the poison. Let me tell you, as a guy who lived many, many years, and if there's a scale of 1 to 10 where 10 is where you're going to lose your temper. Losing your temper is simply having a temper tantrum. It's like a little 5-year-old kicking his feet on the floor. Lord showed me that. I didn't like it. Because I felt justified in being angry. I felt like I had a righteous cause. And he showed me I did not have one. But I lived so many years at a 9.8. Scott, you're laughing. Could you relate? I lived so many years at a 9.8, and the slightest little thing, I would want to fly off the handle. I got to tell you, that's no way to live.
I don't remember that.
That is absolutely no way to live. You certainly can't serve God there. Because there's no room. There's no room for you to deal with stuff going on. Because you're so wrapped up in yourself, there's no space for God. And if you're living so wrapped up in yourself where there's no space for God, do you think that's acceptable? Do you think that somehow that's going to be okay? When he gets there and says, oh yeah, don't worry about it. It's not your fault. It was those circumstances. I completely get it. Don't worry about it. No. That's not what he's going to say. He's going to say, depart from me. I don't know who the hell you are. That's what he's going to say. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for anyone that claims to be a believer. It's all right here. It's all here. It's our choice. You want to walk with the Lord? You want to be fruitful and successful in the Lord? Do it. There's nothing holding you back. There's nothing holding me back from being fruitful in God. Save me. That's it. Verse 31 again. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You can't hang on to this stuff. You can't be justified or think you're justified in hanging on to it either. That's not putting it off. That's just suppressing it. It means you still have it. It means you still agree with it. You can't do that. Verse 32. And be what? Kind to one another. Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Even, look at this, as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, when I start feeling like I deserve to be treated better, when that little seed, let me tell you how insidious that thing is, that will separate you from God quicker than, that will get you separated from God quicker than you can blink. If you let that seed start, oh man, That is going to put you down a road of a world of hurt. When that seed starts, I just, no. And I go back and I say, Lord, show me all the grace you've had on me. Show me the mercy you've had on me. Show me the love you've shown to me. Show me the times your hand has been in my life when I didn't deserve it. And then I look at that supposed offense and I say, what am I upset about? See, the Lord's, it's not the Lord's prayer. The outline the Lord gave the disciples. He says, forgive us our debts. What? As we forgive our debtors. See, that's exactly how it works. We carry around that bitterness and unforgiveness. We've separated ourselves from God. And then we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why things aren't going the way we'd like them to go. We wonder why we just can't get any forward movement. Well, you got to let go of the anchor to move. You know, I had a boat. If I dropped the anchor and hit the motor full tilt, I'd rip the boat apart. Is that the fault of me, the fault of the boat? I mean, it's my fault. Pick the anchor up. You can go faster. And that's what all that bitterness is. That's what all the anger is. That's what all that old man is, just this dead weight. Again, over in Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside the weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us and run with patience. That's a determination to finish. It is going to take effort. It's going to take work. And it's going to take you humbling yourselves. And as a guy who has been down both of these roads, let me tell you, if the Lord's trying to do something with you and it requires humility, there's two ways you can do it. You can humble yourself or He can humiliate you. You pick. That's how it's going to work. Get on your knees. Humble yourselves before the Lord. And as quick as you separated from God, you are reconciled to God. Because the door's right there. He doesn't shut it on you. It's right there. And so that's my message today. I pray we all receive it. Because God wants to do so much with us. Dad's preached it I don't know how many times. We look around, there's some empty chairs here. I believe there's angels in them. Amen? Maybe they're placeholding for the ones the Lord wants to bring in. But why would He bring someone in if we're not in a place to minister to them? I mean, that's the same message I've heard for 25 years. It needs to be different. It has to be different. Amen? Amen.
Side of the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the words that we've heard today. Thank you for the reminders that we so often need. And Lord, we just ask that everyone who is here and everyone that listens to this in the future online, that they hear your words, Father, that they believe your words, and that they follow them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.